Well, good morning, my dear brothers and sisters. It's very nice for Sister Beth and myself to be here once again to catch up with family and also friends down here in the Bay of Plenty. So it's also a very nice break for us to get away from the big smoke and see how it's done down here. It's a lot more relaxing pace of life, so we're a little bit envious, but there we go. Well, what I thought I'd like to do today for you is just give to you one of my exhortations on about Jesus' yoke being easy. So I got you to read Matthew chapter 23 there, which is not an easy chapter in the way, well, at least to the audience who is trying to receive it, because this is not just a mild rebuke of the religious leaders of Jesus' time, but instead it's more a scathing condemnation of those who had a responsibility to guide and teach the people to love God, and yet instead they had corrupted the worship into financial thievery and selfish advancement in ruling over the people and exploiting their position of power, making overt gestures of superficial piety to gain praise and admiration. So it's not particularly palatable for the Pharisees, and I'm sure they would have been squirming in their boots, so to speak. Now, as far as we are concerned in our day and time, I think we can feel more than ever burdened by our careers and our employers. There seems to be ever-increasing demands placed on our time and our productivity to generate ever-increasing profit margins and shareholder dividends. Sometimes we would all like the world to stop so that we can get off and get some sort of balance back into our lives. Fortunately, God does not expect exponential increases every year in the number of works to demonstrate our faith. Yet this is the very thing that Jesus reprimands the Jewish leaders for in the reading that we did today from the New Testament, in Matthew 23, we find that God is the same today as he was yesterday, as we are reassured in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. For I am the Lord, I do not change, it says. The goalposts do not change every day. God's requirements are not increased, but have remained the same. What are they? To love him more than anyone or anything else, so that we might be a reflection of his glory and character. Much like a young child adores their parents and wishes to be just like them. For even Jesus says in Luke chapter 18, verses 16 to 17, where he says to his disciples, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." In Matthew chapter 23, verses 2 to 4, the Pharisees were burdening people with not just the law of Moses, but all the extra rules and conditions that they had added on top of them. This was a burdensome yoke of self-righteousness and legalistic law-keeping. And to make matters worse, these very teachers of the law were hypocrites who were guilty of breaking the law to suit their own selfish ambitions. It says, "The scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." Contrast this with what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, where he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden light." So these are wonderful words of encouragement from our dear Lord. But let us just break this down a little bit for us to understand better what he is talking about. So firstly, what is this yoke? We're obviously not talking about the one you get inside an egg. The definition of a yoke from Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines the term as a bar or frame that is attached to the heads or necks of two work animals, such as oxen, so that they together can plough or pull a heavy load. Note here that it is a load which is shared between two animals. In Bible times, the yoke was a wooden frame added to multiple oxen, horses or mules to get them to pull a cart or plough. It was a very heavy piece of equipment that was burdensome. It was designed to limit the animal's movement to moving in the same direction and dispersing the load between them. Jesus utilized this analogy because he lived in an agricultural society. When he was speaking this, it immediately pulled up familiar images in the minds of his followers of their own animals laboring in the fields. Well, what was the yoke of the Pharisees? The Mosaic law consisted of 600 laws that the Jews were required to follow. So that's quite a number of laws. Very hard to remember each and every one, but that was the job of the religious leaders to remind the people. But yet we find that on top of these laws that were so numerous hardly anyone could keep them, the Pharisees had further complicated it by adding extra rules and regulations, much like the politicians of today, over and above the law of Moses, which they forced upon others. Yet they showed that they were not even capable of keeping all the laws themselves. They demanded that the Jewish people be held to a standard higher than their own. The yoke of the Pharisees is the burdensome yoke of self-righteousness and legalistic law-keeping. It has been said by biblical scholars that the Pharisees had added over 600 regulations regarding what qualified as working on the Sabbath. That is a heavy burden. One example of these burdens is during Passover. To bear in mind the context. So what would happen at Passover? We would have many families that would travel many, many miles and even days to come to the temple for Passover. So this was not just a case of hopping in your car and driving for a couple of hours. This was quite an ordeal. So depending on the distance of travel, some would bring their sacrifice with them, while others would look for a sacrificial animal once they had arrived in Jerusalem. After carrying the animal with them through their travel, they would be told it was unacceptable. Blemishes suddenly discovered through underhanded means, of course. And they had to purchase one of the animals at the temple at an expensive rate only accepted in temple currency. Sounds a bit like our airports, doesn't it? No wonder that Jesus, in Matthew 21, verse 12, is angered at the Pharisees for making his father's house a den of thieves. They made the Jewish people yoke to them do most of the work, while they themselves did little in the work of serving and assisting others in the service of God. They actually became parasitic and extorted the people when they should have instead been leading and tending them like shepherds feeding the flock. Jesus rebukes them in Matthew 23 verse 14, where he says they devoured widows' houses. They were supposed to be looking after the poor, whom the law had expressly made provision for. Yet these leaders demanded that all must pay to God, under the guise of the temple treasury, of course, as well as extortionate prices for sacrificial animals that were sold and the money exchange that they had set up to buy them in the temple. These men were not feeding the flock, as Christ had asked his disciples to do. They were making merchandise and devouring them. Jesus warns of wolves in sheep's clothing that would deceive others and consume them and Matthew chapter 7 verse 15, and also in Acts chapter 20 verse 29, of these wolves that would not spare the flock. This is obviously who he was alluding to. Well, let's compare this with the light yoke of Jesus. How does Jesus' yoke compare with that of the Pharisees? Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 13, that his yoke is easy and my burden is light. So what's Jesus telling us here? He's telling those who are weary and burdened by the system of works that the Pharisees have laid on the backs of the people, that he would relieve them of such things. Christ was a stark contrast to the Jewish leaders of the people. Christ was a stark contrast to the Jewish religious leaders of the time. His yoke is far easier. In fact, he is actually doing the lion's share of the work alongside us. He has already completely dedicated his life in perfect obedience to our Heavenly Father to show us the way, and is heading in the right direction. If we look to God to be our guide, Jesus is never pulling against us, but pulling with us. In other words, not being unequally yoked. He has made the ultimate sacrifice for sin and given his life so that we may have a means of forgiveness and redemption, which we have come to remember in the emblems set before us. Jesus only asks us to join him together on his yoke. We are not going through this journey alone. No. We are yoked together with our Lord and Master, journeying onward to prepare for his imminent return. We do no longer have to justify our faith to God purely by our works. Salvation can never be earned this way. Instead, we need to know and understand our Lord and Master and ensure we are going in the same direction as him. For if we have become distracted with the things in the world around us, we will be pulling against him in the wrong direction. Jesus instead defies the Pharisees by taking the entirety of the 600 plus Mosaic laws and reformulating it into two simple commandments in the previous chapter in Matthew 22 verses 37 to 40. We all know this very well, where he says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these commandments hang all the law and the prophets." This is Jesus' response to the man that asked him what is the greatest commandment. Yet Christ, in his advice here, is quite clever. You see, these commandments of Christ go beyond the mere outward conformity to the law which the Pharisees demanded with their burdens that they put on people and their tithes and so forth. So Jesus instead deals with the inner thoughts and desires of a person, not just the outward show. Jesus was saying that any kind of law-keeping is burdensome and amounts to a heavy yoke of oppression, because no amount of law-keeping can bridge the gap between our sinfulness and God's holiness. God says in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, that all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. And Paul reiterated to the Romans that no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law, in Romans chapter 3, verse 20. The good news is that Jesus promises to all those who come to him that he will give them rest from the heavy burden of trying to earn our way into God's kingdom, and rest from the oppressive yoke of self-righteousness and legalism. Jesus encourages those who are heavy laden to take his yoke upon them. And in doing so, they will find rest for their minds. The yoke of Jesus is light and easy to carry because it is the yoke of repentance and faith, followed by a single-minded commitment to follow him. As the Apostle John says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." In 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. I think, brethren, that we are fortunate that we are able to not be anxious of world events and political machinations as those around us are deeply concerned about. Think about all the crazy events that we have happening around us. We have these unstable world leaders just one inch away from pushing that red button and world destruction. We have political instability. We don't know who's in power half the time. All this people chopping and changing it. We have climate change that we've been told about. We potentially, they may be warning us of a looming ice age. There are fears that the earth may be consumed by the sun or obliterated by a stray asteroid. And yet, we don't care about these things because we know that God has a plan and a purpose for us and the earth that we live on. So we're able to leave this in God's capable hands, to care and preserve the earth without enlisting in an environmental activist group. Well, finally, my brethren, to sum up, what makes Jesus' yoke easy and his burden light is that Jesus' own act of obedience through to his sacrifice of his life on the cross, as the one that would be the sacrificial righteous lamb to take away the sins of the world, in other words, his perfect fulfillment of the law of God, he carried the burden that we could never bear on our own. His perfect obedience is imputed to us through faith, baptism into Christ, and by God's grace. Just as Jesus' righteousness was exchanged for our sin at the cross, we are told in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Our obedience to God then becomes our spiritual worship. For in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." The life lived by faith is a much lighter yoke and a much easier burden to carry than the heavy burden and burdensome yoke of self-righteousness, under which some continually strive to make themselves acceptable to God through works. We are coupled or yoked together with Christ through baptism and a desire to serve our Heavenly Father. We have been granted the privilege of being under the law of grace rather than the old law of condemnation that could not save. So that when we fall, we can be forgiven through our Lord's sacrifice rather than being found guilty of transgressing the law and burdened by guilt and failure. For in Psalm 55 verse 22, we are encouraged to cast our burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be shaken. Let us put on the yoke of our Lord together with him and plow the fields of life's journey while scattering the good seed around us. Let us never forget that the Lord is ever present beside us, helping us on the way towards the kingdom of God. We only need to understand and love our Heavenly Father to allow him to guide us in the right direction so that we may share the burden, yoke together in faith. Asaph expounds on the comfort he feels with God assisting him in all his labors in Psalm 75, verse 23 to 26, where he says, "Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Paul also reflects on the toil and labours in the service of God and looking forward to the joy of hope to come in our Lord's return. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 to 8, where he says, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Thank you.